And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today's program, I'm going to have a very special program with my good friend Jeff Rentz. And now we go immediately to Power of Prophecy.
Tonight to talk about a number of things like who's in charge here is Tex Mars. Hello, Tex. Welcome back.
Hey, welcome to you, Jeff. Great to be with you again.
Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure. We always learn. And if you haven't availed yourselves of Tex Mars' books, you don't want to miss those. Please go to his website and take a look. If you want the answers, they're all there. They're just amazing books. The data is solid. The research is brilliant. And the answers are there for your taking. So who's running the country, Tex? Who's really running the country? When the commander-in-chief says, well, I've given military full control over what they want to do, how many troops they want to use. They make the decisions, not me. What the heck is that?
Yeah, it does sound strange, doesn't it? We've never had anybody like that. We've had people that promised, we've had presidents who promised they would take the military's advice, of course.
Sure.
And listen more closely. But we've never had them actually delegate even the number of troops in a field of operation. So,
no.
Yeah, that's a very strange thing. And, of course, Mantis, all these people, they seem to be disagreeing with President Trump on a number of issues.
Yes.
For example, Mantis is a big environmentalist. He's a big Mother Earther. So isn't that strange? And so is McMaster.
He's a global warming freak.
Yeah,
exactly.
And these guys are members of the Council on Foreign Relations and so forth.
Yep.
So you wonder, golly, how did they ever get chosen for that job? And then when they went for their nomination, their hearings, you know, to be confirmed, they were asked, would they go against the president in various you know, situations? And they said, yes, you know, we won't obey orders unless we agree with, you know, what he's telling us.
How can that be?
Never heard a military man ever say that. I have heard, you know, when I was in the Air Force, I have heard a couple of generals who said, I will resign rather than follow that order. So they said, we will resign, but they never said, I just won't do it. You know, that's incredible.
Yeah, and Trump's response to that is equally as weird.
Weird. It is. But, you know, Jeff, I was thinking about this over the weekend, and I was thinking of the presidents we've had. Nixon, well, let's go back to JFK, and then Nixon, Carter, Reagan, Clinton, Obama, and now Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to say that there were all kinds of, you know, clues that these people were really not running the White House. I mean, you know, it seems like, you know, Trump has all these sessions with businessmen and with the unions and with education and so forth, with
sure.
women empowerment groups. And he's, you know, he's got a lot of publicity for all those things, but does he really have any authority? Does he have any power? And somebody has to be running the White House other than the president. This is what I've sort of scratched my head because, you know, I am a conspiracy buff.
No, you're a conspiracy researcher, and it doesn't take much scratching to come up with a Kushner.
There you go. Well, Kushner is a very interesting character himself. But
yeah,
why would the president turn over to a young man who's had no experience at all in government or military, anything at all? Why would he turn over the entire Middle East situation? So he would go over there and try to make peace?
Yeah, I think the answer is simple, Tex, because Kushner is simply a sock puppet for Tel Aviv and the city of London.
Well, that's true. Kushner could no more make any progress. But, you know, I remember reading about President Carter.
Yeah.
He had a number of sessions between the Palestinians, peace talks between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And he said, one time at Camp David where they met, and he asked the Israeli president, I forget who it was, it might have been, who knows who it was,
mm-hmm.
but Begin, it was Prime Minister Begin. And he said, why can't there be peace in the Middle East? That's sort of a dumb question if you know the history of Israel.
It certainly is.
Begin said, there will be no peace because we will not give any land to the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
And so Carter asked him, why won't you give them any land? I mean, they had the land before you ever got there. It's their land. Why won't you give them a piece of it and make their own country and all that? And he said, God gave us the land over 3,000 years ago. Now, he says, we will never give an inch of it. So, I mean, Carter said in one of his books, you know, he has two or three of these huge books he's written about the talks.
Uh-huh.
But Carter said there was no hope for peace. When you say God told us we could have the land 3,000 years ago, we'll never give up an inch. And, of course,
right.
it's against the Israeli Talmud, the Jewish Talmud, to even sell land to anyone other than a Jew. They can't even sell their land. You can't sell a business, et cetera. So Carter said, seeing that was true, you know, I had to ask myself, why am I having these talks? Why am I wasting my time? And he asked Begin that very question. Why are we wasting our time here? And Begin told him, you wanted the talks. We didn't. But we have to do it because the world expects it. In other words, it's PR, good PR. And that's what Kushner's giving them now. It's good PR. That's all. But I began to think really about who really is running the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like us, if we could, Jeff, to really talk about this because I think it's important. You know, you go back to JFK, and JFK seemed to want to assert authority. He said he was going to – he told his associates that he was going to get rid of the CIA. He would bust it up into 1,000 pieces. Well, it ended up with him being assassinated, and then the former head of the CIA, the guy he had fired because he messed up in the Bay of Pigs Cuban situation, he ended up being on the Warren Commission that looked into who killed JFK, the very guy they had fired.
Talk about stacking
the deck.
So that was
a strange.
Yeah.
It was a strange thing. But we do know now that the FBI was involved, the CIA was involved, and probably Israeli intelligence and so forth. So all of what they call now the deep state was involved in the JFK assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very small minority of Americans who believe that a single gunman killed JFK. We know that it was a conspiracy,
of course.
It was a conspiracy of the deep state.
Right.
How can they kill the president of the United States and get away with it? And of course, you know, now we know there was a lot of flaws in the investigation into Robert Kennedy's murder and so forth.
Well, let's call them lies. Flaws,
yeah, well,
lies.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Mm, that's true. Now, Nixon, you know, he knew about the Jewish situation. He knew the Jews were, you know, running most of America, the Congress and so forth. And he determined he was going to do something about it. He would get elected and then he would work, behind the scenes and do something. But they did him in. I mean, look, two reporters, both Jews, you know, top reporters pulled off the Watergate thing against him. I'm not saying he didn't do anything. I'm just saying, how did they know? Well, it turns out that the deputy director of the FBI was Deep Throat. Mark Feltner, another Jew, was giving the two Jewish newspaper media people,
mm-hmm.
you know, Woodward and Bernstein,
mm-hmm.
was giving them all the info that he got because he was the FBI. So the FBI knew what, Nixon was doing, and they gave this information to Woodward and Bernstein, these two
uh-huh,
Jews.
Uh-huh.
So it was a Jewish operation to destroy President Nixon. And they did destroy him. There's no doubt about that. So, but by the way, even the Pentagon Papers, the guy who published those from the Defense Department, I forget his name now, the employee that grabbed the papers and what put, gave them to the, what, New York Times or Washington Post.
Oh, Daniel Ellsberg.
Yeah, Daniel Ellsberg. He was also Jewish.
Yeah, of course.
That was a Jewish operation through and through. So Nixon, of course, was forced out of office by the Jews. And of course, if he had ever said that, if he had a news conference and said the Jews are responsible for my leaving the White House, he would have been, well, he would have been scoured by the media, wouldn't he?
Of course.
They'd have said, "Oh, you're crazy, you're insane." Of
course, you're a hater, you're an anti-Semite, and all that. Usual.
That's right. And they still did that after he left office, of course.
Right.
And it's interesting how, you know, they were so powerful that the Jews in the deep state, let's just call them that, they had a dossier on Nixon's vice president,
Spiro T. Agnew.
Right, Spiro Agnew. And he had been making, he started out making these fantastic speeches, really great speeches, against the media. And he called them all nattering nabobs of negativity, all kind of, you know, he was really very popular among the people for doing that. I'm talking about the vice president. Well, when they determined they were going to get rid of Nixon, they were going to kick him out, they had to first get rid of the vice president, because after all, the vice president, he knew the Jews were doing it. And I've got a letter from him, by the way, to that effect. From Spiro Agnew. He knew the Jews were behind everything in America, all the bad stuff. So they said, we've got to get rid of Agnew before we get rid of the president.
Right.
Or else he would end up being the president.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah,
the president takes over.
Oh, yeah.
So suddenly we open up the newspapers one day, and, boy, surprisingly, Agnew was fingered for taking money from a contractor back in the county where he was at, from Maryland. And they got rid of him. He resigned rather than go through a trial or anything. And so he left office immediately. And then, of course, Nixon must have known he was cooked. If they got my vice president, I'm next. And so, you know, they did him in, too.
Correct.
So Nixon was done in. And, of course, he knew. Remember that when he brought Billy Graham, who's a rat and works for the Jews. He brought Billy Graham into his office and was talking to Billy Graham about the Jews.
Well, these conversations are on tape with Billy Graham.
Oh, yes.
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah, you can listen to him. And I've got the transcript of that in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. But Billy Graham told him the Jews were bad and they were against America and so forth. But then he went out and blabbed to the Jews of his conversations with, Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he later claimed that he didn't do it. He never said anything bad about the Jews. He loved the Jews.
Please.
He's a rat. Of course, Nixon, the Jews evidently knew everything he was saying in the White House. They must have taped the whole thing. And that's why, by the way, Nixon could not just burn the tapes. You know, there were 2 minutes of the tapes missing.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't just burn the tapes because they evidently had duplicate copies because they were running the whole operation. You know, they were wiretapping while he was wiretapping. And I believe this is happening to Trump also.
You know, well, the one other thing, if he had burned the tapes, let's say that the Jewish state ended up with the only set of tapes with audio and digital trickery, they could have made those tapes say almost anything.
Absolutely. Well, so we know what happened. Nixon was done in by the deep state, by the Jewish interest. JFK was killed by the deep state.
You know, I think they would have killed Nixon, but it was too soon after JFK.
That's true. Yes, and Nixon also, now think about this, Jeff. One of the things that Haldeman says in his memoirs, Haldeman, you know, was the presidential assistant, one of the top lieutenants there in the office with Nixon. They had discussions about the JFK assassination. I'm talking about Nixon and his associates. And these discussions have been centered around the fact that Nixon and Haldeman and Ehrlichman, another assistant, knew who killed JFK and how it was done. They knew that it was the Israelis that were part of the operation, the Mossad and so forth.
Yes.
And so they were planning on leaking this information to the entire nation. Now, that would have created a sensation if suddenly the Nixon White House had released his information, even by leaks, letting people know who really killed JFK. Now, here's the problem. The documents to prove this were kept at the National Archives. Okay?
Safest place on the universe, right?
That's right. And who in the whole United States has the authority at any time to bop on over to the National Archives building? They got an entire building there in, in Washington, D.C., a very ornate, gorgeous building. Who could have just bopped over there, had his limo driver take him over, bopped in and said, "Hey, I want those documents." Well, of course, the President of the United States. Doesn't he run the executive branch? Doesn't the National Archives work for him? Of course. But instead, Nixon and his boys, the plumbers and so forth, had to think of some big plot, how they could get into they were going to be safe cracking at the National Archives because they found out that the director of the National Archives kept the JFK papers and all this evidence that they haven't even released right now in 2017. They haven't even released them.
Right.
Of course, we'll never see them because they'll be destroyed by the time they're supposed to release them.
Absolutely.
But think about it. They were planning an operation to crack the safe to get those papers from the national director. And they had found out his schedule. They found out when he would be on vacation and all that because he slept in an apartment next to his safe. I mean, they wanted these papers. There must have been all kind of other papers there, too, that show crooked things. The deep state has done, and just horrible, horrible things. Probably, member Secretary of Defense Forrest Hall was thrown out of his window.
Yeah, of course.
At the hospital, and all those things that Jews had done.
The Secretary of Defense, ladies and gentlemen, for you newcomers, you don't know this. Our Secretary of Defense, James Forrest Hall, was thrown out of the window at Bethesda Hospital after being forcefully committed to the hospital, allegedly under some severe psychiatric and emotional strain.
Yes, of course, you and I know the situation with Israel there.
Yeah.
But in any case, he was thrown out the window. The whole thing was that the National Archives, they were going to have to break into the safe when the guy was going on vacation and take these documents. Again, why couldn't the president just go over there? Why couldn't he call on the phone and say, I want the folders with those particular things. I want them in my office in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, they were keeping them even. So there's things that even the president cannot say. You know, you see shows like this one, I forget the science fiction one, are they out there or not, the UFOs, the aliens, all that. And they have segments in which the president finds out that there's things that he can't even get to that are classified even to him. And that's very strange, isn't it, that we have a president, but he can't even get stuff that's in the National Archives.
Completely. Absolutely.
So, does the president really have authority?
Now, these are very big questions, and I don't have an easy answer.
It's amazing. Now, when Reagan got in office, he had said during his campaign, here's another strange thing. He had said during his campaign that he would never choose anybody as his vice president or put anybody in high authority who was a member of the Trilateral Commission or the Council on Foreign Relations. He said these are traitorous organizations. They're against America. And so George Bush Sr., George Herbert Walker, had to resign from both organizations. He was a member of both of them. He quickly resigned, and then they chose him at the convention. So he did, and then it seemed that everybody that he had in his administration, they were all members of the Council on Foreign Relations.
I know, and how much of it has changed since then?
That's
true.
We've
got CFR people all over the government now.
Reagan evidently did not do their bidding, I think he was a very heroic guy, and he decided, you know, I don't like these wars. You know, they're unnecessary.
That's right.
So he decided, I think his biggest achievement was no more wars. Well, they didn't like that because, you know, we've always had wars.
Oh, no, you got to feed the beast. Yep.
That's right. So obviously he got an assassination attempt on his life. Now, it turned out that the guy who did it was a friend. His family were friends to the Bushes. Now, that was very strange.
Totally.
And then there was the case where Alexander Haig, who was back in the White House, and he told the press, perhaps inadvertently, we're, with the president being shot, he says, we're in charge here.
No, don't no.
Worry.
No, yes, 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 but it was worse than that. He said, I'm in charge here.
Oh, that's right. I'm in charge here.
He said,
chief of staff, you know.
That's right. He says, I'm in charge here. Nothing to worry about.
I'm in charge here. And so that became a little bit of a scandal because, you know, Reagan, they wanted people to think that he had more than jelly beans to give out. You know, he had, so in any case, he got back. Now, one thing that Reagan did was when we had 269 Marines who were killed at their in their barracks when it was blown up by a terrorist bomb in Lebanon.
And
he had put those people there at the insistence of the Jews in Israel.
Yeah,
and they said this will bring peace to the Middle East if you have these troops there.
Uh-huh.
Well, he put the troops there, and they all got blown up and killed.
And wonder who
so
did.
So understand
it.
That Reagan said, I took your advice. I put these 269 poor Marines there, and they were all killed. I will never put American troops anywhere else again. And he didn't. He refused these wars, which made them very unhappy. And so they conjured up, you know, they had done all, well, anyway, but that's Reagan. I'm not so sure that Reagan was in charge either. I'm not so sure he knew about the Iran-Contra situation. So there were a lot of things done behind his back by these people.
When they shot him, by the way, he came within a quarter inch of dying. He was supposed to die.
That's right. It was very serious, wasn't it? Very serious. But they lied to us and told us it was just a minor thing. But now we know how dangerous it was. Then we get to Bill Clinton. Now, Clinton seemed to have all this power. He got out of all kinds of, you know, dangerous scrapes from Whitewater, you know, to Foster's murder, you know, and
Teflon
suicide.
The Teflon prince.
The Teflon president. And the Secretary of Commerce, I forget his name now, Ron whatever. He was
Brown.
Shot on some.
Ron Brown was murdered. Yeah.
They said he died in an airplane crash, but he had a very smooth bullet, round bullet hole in his head.
Right in the top of his head, going straight down.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't it? So, I don't know. Maybe
well, they went through the plane, the Special Forces did, killing anyone who was still alive. The one stewardess, remember the stewardess? I think her name was Kitty Kelly. It's a terrible story. She survived. She was in the back bulkhead, strapped in, and survived the crash of this plane on the top of a mountainside. It was kind of flat up there. And what they had done is the night before, they had changed the guy who was in charge of directing these aircraft in bad weather toward the airport. So they flew the plane with directions into the mountain. They had special forces there. They went through the plane and executed anyone who survived. Brown was apparently still alive. So they shot him, and they think they used a gun that had frozen concentrated ice pellets. Went right down through his skull, killed him, and the ice dissolved, and so there was no, that was one theory. But the other theory was backed up by the naval medical examiner who had the x-rays showing the bullet fragments, and something happened to him, and I can't remember what now. But it was all ugly. Anyway, this poor woman survived. She was walking around in a daze when they got there. She unbuckled herself. They put her in an American military rescue helicopter, but lo and behold, by the time they got to the base, the medical facilities they were taking her to, she had developed a femoral artery break, and she bled to death.
Oh, my, I remember that, yes. Boy, well.
It's called murder.
Ron Brown, wasn't it?
Ron Brown's flight, and, yeah, that was the secretary, the stewardess, and they killed her. It's just, they kill people all the time. It happens all the time. Sickening.
It does. It's a terrible thing. But Seth Rich.
There's another one.
The WikiLeaks guy.
Yeah.
Boy. Now, Clinton made an interesting statement, you know, after he left office. He was in Ireland. He was making one of his big speeches, getting a couple hundred grand for it. In Ireland, now the ex-president, Bill Clinton, and he said somebody asked him about technology and someday, you know, what was going to happen with the robots and artificial intelligence and so forth.
Right.
And Clinton said something that's very interesting. He said, now, I don't know, you know, you can judge for yourself, but Clinton said, you know, virtual reality is getting so perfected now that you can have a president of the United States who would be a virtual reality president, and he could be operated, in other words, he could appear to be real, externally, from an external person. He says it's getting that way now, where and the president makes no decisions at all, but the virtual reality president runs things. And that's what he said, and that's very, very odd. I don't know of any cases where we've had a virtual reality president or robot president or anything like that. Uh-huh. I'm not suggesting it.
Right.
But he said it. Maybe he said it. We're getting at the point now where this is possible. So I just thought I'd give that to people to think about. Maybe they can think through it. Now, Obama's another one. You know, the picture came out where he was sitting there with all the other people in a little room in the White House, a little bitty rinky-dink room, with the Department of Defense guy and the others. And they were keeping track of the Osama bin Laden operation. And he was sitting in a little bitty chair, and he sort of cramped up back there, and Hillary's there, and they're all this little room around this table. And you can tell that they've just been pulled in that office and told, we need to take a picture of you.
He looked like a disgraced butler hunkering down in the back. He didn't look presidential.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. But, well, golly, this is...
He was slunk over. It was the most unpresidential pose I think I've ever seen any president strike. He looked like just a useless appendage to the whole process.
I don't, you know, and remember when he was over in Europe and they had a news conference. It was him and the, I think, Medvedev, who was the deputy head, second man to Putin, and they were there being interviewed. They had the chairs up front, and then they had a little break in the interview and had a little time. And he reached over and he whispered, I believe it was Medvedev, and he whispered to him and said, please tell Vladimir Putin for me that after the election, I can talk to him about some things. He says, I'll have more flexibility after the election.
That's right.
Now, think about that. More flexibility. You mean he didn't have any flexibility? He couldn't really talk to the President Putin? Was he hamstrung? Who was hamstringing him? Who was listening in?
Uh-huh.
Why couldn't he just pick up that red phone or any phone and say, let me speak to Putin? The President of the United States said, I can talk to him after the election when I'm reelected,
right,
and I'll have more flexibility.
Right. Very strange statement. Big giveaway there. Who's really in charge? Who's really running the country?
He didn't have the authority.
No, he did not.
To talk to Putin.
I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Robot alchemy. Androids, cyborgs, and the magic of Artificial Life. That's the title of my new book, Robot Alchemy. It's a big book, and it's got, hundreds of beautiful photographs in it of robotic creatures and androids and cyborgs. Amazing photographs. A collection that you've never seen before, all in one place. Now, what does alchemy mean? It means magic or witchcraft. Why? Why would I combine the word robot with alchemy? Because that's what's being offered to people. The opportunity to be immortals. When that day of singularity comes, you can go forward and be as the robots. You don't have to stay behind and be like these non-advanced, low-information human beings. You can be a high-information, high-performance robot. You can live forever. You can be a god. Isn't that interesting? Now, I was reading recently an article by a man named Giulio Prisco. He's a science writer, a technology expert, a futurist, and a transhumanist. And I believe he's an atheist, but he says he believes in God. Well, his God is man. His God is advanced man. His God is the robot. He says he has a religion. It's called cosmism. And he says that cosmists, including him, believe strongly that God-like beings will exist in the future. And he says he believes there are probably other civilizations out in outer space, other worlds, that have already attained godlike powers. And we need a renaissance of religion here in the United States and the world. And future magic by science will give mankind most of the promises of religion and many amazing things that no human religion ever dreamed of. In the future, you could be a god. When Kurzweil, one of the world's top roboticists, was asked, "Are you a god?" He said, "Not yet." And you could be resurrected from the dead by being copied. They can even use a 3D machine to copy you. You'll be resurrected in a form of virtual reality and robotics. Now, Mr. Prisco says these convictions of his are beliefs. I choose to hold them as beliefs. But nowhere here is mentioned Jesus Christ. Nowhere does he have the promise of eternal life from the author of life itself, which is Christ Jesus. Well, I write about these kinds of things in different sections of my book, Robot Alchemy. I want you to have this book. This could be the most important book you've ever read in your life. I don't want it to frighten you. I just want it to convince you that if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you need him. That's my purpose. I guess I'm the only evangelist into robots in the whole world. I don't know of any other. Do you? Has anybody been to your church teaching you robotics? Well, that's what I've been doing. I've been telling everybody about robots, and I've been doing it on the radio here. I mean, I keep getting radio programs, you know, hosts that call me, ask me to come on and talk about this subject. And they've never had somebody come on and talk about robotics or computers in their whole life. And they ask Tex Mars too. And many of them are amazed. Why are you on robotics? What has possessed you? Well, I'm possessed by the life itself, Jesus Christ, to tell you the truth about robotics. So yeah, you'll never have a book like this right now. There's none on the market. Kurzweil has a book. And there are others who have books, but they don't tell you the truth. They don't tell you the whole aspects. Mike Adams of Natural News, he says of transhumanism that that's just Kool-Aid with poison in it. Won't make you live immortally. It will only make you dead. That's what he says. Why, drinking the Kurzweil Kool-Aid will only make you dead, not immortal. That's what Mike Adams wrote in Natural News this last June the 25th. Very interesting article. Upload your mind to a computer as junk science, he says. Junk science. But he's a naturalist. He's not a technologist. Technologists say you can do it. He says you're a member of a cult if you buy into that. I want you to know that robot alchemy will give you the pros and the cons. I try to be fair to the roboticist, and I want you to have a copy of this. Now, it's quality, glossy paper with beautiful glossy photos throughout in color. First time I've ever done a book like this. I'm very proud of it because it tells the truth and it gives you the perspective you need. I don't just come out. It's not, you know, it's not going to be all Bible, but it's going to tell you the truth. I want you to order it from us if you can. Powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Go to that page. That's my webpage. You can just go to TexMars.com. And there, right on the front page, you'll see a big advertisement for Robot Alchemy. For a limited time only, we're offering this book for just $20. Add $5 shipping and handling. We got a lot of copies we, you know, ordered because I knew it was going to be a very fast seller. A lot of people are interested in this particular topic. Now, you know, I used to write robot books. Believe it or not, before I was doing Christian books, I was a roboticist. Now, I never really thought about becoming a god through robotics, you know, and I sort of admired robotics people. But I don't much admire those atheists who think they can become gods. I know they're making a super mistake, a powerful mistake. That's why I'm here preaching to them. But they won't listen to me. Well, maybe some will. I don't know. I want you to have this book, $25. The $5 will cover the shipping and handling. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or go to online now, on the internet, to powerofprophecy.com, Robot Alchemy. You can phone us toll-free during the workday. Just call, and the friendly receptionist will help you get the book. And we'll even give you a free subscription to my newsletter, Power of Prophecy. Every month, you'll get it in the mail. It's a very unique newsletter, and you'll see my new books and videos, and we'll have articles and things in there. And some people tell me, boy, they just can't wait. When they get that, they just, man, they devour it. And I love to do the newsletter. I mean, everyone here will tell you, I labor over that newsletter. Every little word is just tailor-made. And I get very excited when I see the newsletter out. That's the way I am. I'm very excited about what I do here. I love this ministry. I love it. And I love it because I have friends like you. Now, I know that some people don't like me. They say, well, you know, he's a fear monger. He's this. You know, you're always going to have people like that. Hey, I don't even worry about those people. They say, well, you text, you're a fear monger. I say, well, of course I am. Have I got you scared yet? Yeah, I'm a little scared. Well, good. Maybe I scared the devil out of you. I don't know. Okay. Our phone number here is 1-800. That's free now. 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our regular program.
So all of these people that talk about, you know, how powerful our presidents are, and it's just now poor Trump. Now, you know, I say poor Trump, but think about it right now. He's president of the United States.
Is he?
Well, that's the question. Is he really?
Yeah.
Is he really? That's right.
Of course.
Now, Jeff, at the FBI, it's a deep state that's shafted him. They're supposed to be putting out all these things, these leaks and these lies, and of course the media are a part of it and so forth.
Right.
But why doesn't he, as president, just get rid of the people that are doing this? And if he doesn't get rid of them, if he somehow can't do that, why doesn't he give them some job? You know, like that's what they used to do, the Air Force colonels and generals, when they wanted to get rid of them. They would just call in a general and say, General, I've got a new job for you. You're going to be the man in charge of Hangar C. And some remote isolated airbase.
Mm-hmm.
And what was Hangar C? What was in it? Well, nothing but air. A little desk in a gigantic hangar. There was the general sitting in there. You know, they actually did this in the Air Force, you know. So that's how they got rid of people in the Air Force. They catch them in the Air Force. But they had, they were.
Sure, they just kick them sideways and down, and they just hang on. They just put in their time,
right.
Marking time.
There you go, until their retirement, and they were gone. Now, think about it. The FBI, there he had, Comey. But who's the second guy? Now, the guy that really, they say that the deputy always runs things. I'm not sure of that, but a lot of times that's true. The deputy, whether it's deputy secretary of the treasury or deputy secretary of state or whatever, the deputy's the second guy. But he really runs day-to-day operations. Who is that? Well, that would be Mr. Andrew McCabe. Now, who's Andrew McCabe? Well, he's a big, Obama man. And his wife was big pals with the guy that's the governor, McAuliffe, the crooked governor of Virginia, who's one of Hillary Clinton's best pals. And she got $640,000 in bundled money and went over and gave it to McAuliffe for, you know, political campaigns. $640,000, Andrew McCabe's wife, a Democrat. And he's, come on. He's the, I guess he's the director now, isn't he? He took over from Comey.
Right.
And until this James Ray gets interim. Confirmed.
Yeah.
Interim, yes. But why is he even there? And, of course, now, Trump puts out a tweet. He thought he was being investigated because he had fired Comey. So he puts out a tweet and says, the man who I'm going to the Justice Department. Maybe we should say with McCabe just a little bit. McCabe is now head of the FBI, and his wife gave $640,000 that supposedly went to Hillary. Who knows where it went to? All this crookedness. And now he was investigated for this by another guy at the Justice Department named Horowitz, a Jewish guy.
Funniest name, yeah.
Yeah, he said he would have all of the facts on this by February the 7th. But no one's ever heard of that. No one even knows what happened to Horowitz. So McCabe is still there. Now, why doesn't Trump fire him? Then we go to Stan Rosenstein. Or is it Stein?
Good Irish name. Good Irishman.
Irish name. Now, he's the deputy over at the Justice Department. Now, Sessions recuses himself in the Russian stuff, the Russian investigation. And he knew who would then have the whole deal and could rip Trump to shreds in this Russian investigation.
Right.
He knew it would fall to Rosenstein. So there was Rosenstein, who was appointed by Obama. So he's really running things because Sessions, the attorney general, recused himself,
right.
Which, you know, he said it was a department policy that he recused himself. Now, you know, who makes department policy?
Supposedly, him.
Exactly. It's not a law. It's just a policy. He can change the policy.
Yep.
But he goes ahead and recuses himself. And evidently, they say Trump was furious at this because he wanted to be protected.
Yeah.
Because wasn't Obama always protected by Eric Holder?
Of course.
And by Loretta Lynch, no matter what he did, crookedness he got into, the attorney general's always protected him. So here's Sessions, but he runs away and hides in this recuse thing and says it's department policy, which he makes. So Trump's mad at him, but he has to depend on this Rosenstein. So when he fires Comey the very next day, Comey, and he did it at the advice of Rosenstein. Rosenstein says, we have to look into this. You fired Comey. So we're going to have to look into this. That might be obstruction of justice. Now, remember, he's the guy that had just recommended in a 2 or 3 page document to Trump that Comey be fired.
Yeah.
But he said, we're going to look and investigate this. So he goes out and appoints a special counsel. Now, Sessions didn't even get any say in this at all. He's the attorney general. So Rosenstein appoints the counsel. Well, the counsel turns out to be 9/11 cover-up job man, Robert Mueller. He's the guy that was in there that covered up the whole 9/11 situation. All of those, the dancing Israelis on top of the building in New Jersey and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that was all Mueller's doing. He's been covering up stuff for 20 years in his various jobs at the FBI and so forth. So now he's special counsel. And what does he do? He brings in all of these Democrat flacks. You know, these lawyers to help him.
Yep.
All of whom have given big money to the Clintons, the Democrats. Whoa. And of course, and he makes it known that he's going to go after Trump. Well, what can Trump do about it? Well, he could fire the guy because he's not appointed by Congress. He's just appointed by the Justice Department. He can be hired, and he can also be fired.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump has the constitutional right to fire anybody he wants to. Well, he doesn't. Instead, he complains in tweets. Now, here's the President of the United States complaining in tweets.
I know.
The President of the United States, why is he so pitiful that he has to complain in tweets?
Right.
That his deputy director of the Justice Department hired this crummy Democrat who's a crook, Mueller, to go after him. The whole thing is preposterous.
Those tweets are like whining. He's whining. Like a little boy complaining.
Right, but if he had any power, now they told him.
If he had any power, he would have stopped the Muslim invasion of this country. He's done nothing. 4,000 of them were brought in here under Trump in the month of May alone. Come on. It's just sickening.
Well, and the courts, they tell him no every time. Everything he asks for.
Yeah, but that's not the point. That isn't the point, and I've researched this, and you probably already know this. There are laws on the books right now which allow him to stop any external threat that is a national security threat to the welfare of this country. He can do it on the basis of disease potential. On the basis of, and they do have disease, they're bringing in measles, mumps, tuberculosis into our schools with our children. He can do it on the basis of all kinds of things. I've got the laws printed up on my homepage right now. He knows whatever he does by way of executive order text and puts it into the court system. Somehow, the first Obama judge that comes along is going to put a stay on it. And that's exactly what happens. So I don't believe for a minute that these are sincere gestures. I think they're fake. I think they're misdirection, and I don't believe them. That's me.
Well, you know, unless we can assume if you are wrong, Jeff, and I don't think you are, but if you were, then we would have to assume this president is pitiful. He doesn't have any power at all.
That's exactly right.
He's got Andrew McCabe, who's a Democrat, a big money man for he and his wife. Sitting at the FBI running things, and then over at the Justice Department, he's got Rosenstein.
Yeah.
You know, it's an incredible situation, who's a Obama holdover. It's an incredible situation. It's almost an impossible. And he tweets complaining.
I know.
That's unbelievable.
It is. It really is.
The deep state, they say that the deep state is after him. Well, why doesn't he clean him up? He goes into the swamp and pulls him out, and that's it. So he's there. It looks to me like they are going to get a hold of him. They're going to impeach him.
My sources are not the greatest, but I'm getting word here and there that come August, September, he may just resign. They'll make a deal. They'll get him up on charges by then of maybe obstruction. Who knows? Something else. Mm-hmm. And he'll just say, look, I don't need this anymore. They want Pence in there. We know that. They want Pence as president. He's the ultimate little globalist dupe. We won't have to see in the media people being, such as they report it or don't report it, disappointed in Trump. We won't have to have recountings of all the shattered promises and pledges he made that he did not keep and won't keep. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he were to resign. I just wouldn't. Wouldn't surprise me.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either, because they're not.
Rather than go through impeachment? Ugh. What's he need that for? He doesn't need it.
Well, they won't give him his wall.
I've said that 2 months ago, 3 months ago on this prayer. There will be no wall. It's not going to happen.
That's
you know
right.
it, and I know it.
Senator,
you said that. We talked about that together.
We did. And the senator from Texas, you know, Senator Corn, I call him, Cornyn, he says, we don't need a wall. You know, these people, and Paul Ryan, as head of the House of Representatives, and McConnell. First of all, Trump had to put in McConnell's wife, you know, the Chinese American, a very, 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 very lovely lady. But whether she's effective or not, I have no idea. But he did that evidently to get McConnell's favor, but it didn't do any good.
No,
McConnell still makes fun of Trump and won't. Trump has gotten nothing from him, and now Trump's agenda is totally stalled because they don't want it. They never wanted it. I was seeing some senator the other day on Fox, and he was talking about how Trump has a great agenda and everything. And then it turned out that he's submitted a bill calling for a tax break of 2%. 2%.
Wow. That's boy, it's going to knock our socks off. Gee.
Isn't it? I'll tell you. So I don't know if we're going to get any tax break. We'll probably get our taxes raised.
Not going to get anything.
No, we're not. So it's so Trump is going to be seen as totally unable to carry out his agenda.
That's right.
And you know, Congress, they must get together and drink their whiskey and laugh at him. And he's Trump is afraid to go against them. I mean, look at that pipsqueak Ryan.
Now, you look at him. I don't want to.
No, I mean, he's really bad, isn't he?
He is disgusting.
But he is. I can't believe that Trump hasn't, you know, done something that he got rid of him or whatever. But evident, now, these committees that are meeting, the Intel Committee of the Senate and the Intel of the House, uh-huh. I was amazed when Sessions was there. And there they came up with these horrible allegations on Russia against Sessions. And Sessions did react. He pushed back a little bit. That's good. But how could they do that? I mean, it's and the Democrats were leading things. I mean, I can't believe how can the Republicans be in charge of the Senate when the Democrats run everything?
Right.
You know, there's no doubt about it. They were running those hearings. And the Senator Burr, in charge, supposedly the Democrat, he just sat there like a dolt, like a doofus.
Yeah, yeah.
And boy. And, of course, you know, you've got John McCain, who is a total idiot.
Yes, and getting worse by the day.
He is. You know, he really is. He's 80 years old now, but he acts about 90.
I think he's any older than that. I don't know.
Well, I thought he was 80. Maybe.
Let me look this up here. I think when his term is done, he's going to be in his 90s.
Oh, my goodness. Well, but, you know, he knows so much about wars.
Hell, he loves to play in wars.
There's never been a war that he would disagree with.
Oh, he is. He's 80 years old now. You're totally right. He's 80 years old. You're right. Yep.
Well, now how he got elected again?
It's all corrupt.
Is a mystery.
Got to be corrupt. It's corruption.
Yeah, it is corrupt. That's true. Had to be. The guy running against him was a Tea Party guy and a good guy, but the voters of Arizona voted for McCain. And of course, he recently said that Obama was a better president, a better leader than Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That this and Lindsey Graham, he's the biggest queer, and you know he's like that senator that you know.
Well, we need to take up a collection to. We need to take up a collection to break the closet door open for that poor man.
Yes, indeed. But he can't find anything he likes Trump over. Well, he did like the bombing of the missile.
Oh, he got excited about those old Tomahawk missiles over there. 21 of 59 hit their targets. Yeah, he got excited about that.
He did. You're right. He was. He was really applauding Trump on that one. But now he's back to his old tricks and so forth. And Trey Gowdy, everybody talks about Trey Gowdy. Now, he's taken over for Nunes as the congressman in charge of the House Intel Committee.
Uh-huh.
And of course, he was the guy he was in charge of the committee that looked into Hillary Clinton. Now, what did they come up with, Jeff? Nothing? I mean, zero? I mean, do we really think he's going to do anything else? I mean, what is the guy, now he's going to be in charge of the Russian investigation? I mean, there is no real Russian investigation, but they'll find something.
Well, it's just another liberal joke on the rest of us, just another communist ploy. It's so bad.
Well, it really is, but Trey Gowdy, remember, he was in charge of the Hillary investigation.
Uh-huh.
And we know everything that he found out about that, which is zilch, just zilch.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah. Of course, now Trump, I think if Trump is really a legitimate president, and I give him some credit, I really do, Jeff. But I don't know how he got into all these people, the swamp.
He's made the swamp worse.
He has. He has.
How is it better? I mean, really, how is it better? I don't see any way you can make that argument.
No, I don't either. And I think, but, you know, he has to be brilliant. I mean, think of it. All those buildings, all those businesses he has, and he had to fight, you know, he had to fight the New York Mafia, the Democrats in charge.
Yeah.
I mean, New York is a hellhole.
I think he
won.
Yeah, but he's got, that's because he has Jewish friends, lots of them in high places. Look at his son-in-law.
Well, that's true.
Look at his daughter.
Had to be that.
Look at his other son. Look at his other son, married to Jews. Look at his other daughter, dating, probably going to get married to a Jew. Look at Donald Trump with a yarmulke at the West Wall, the Wailing Wall, praying. No other president's done that before. Oh, they visit the wall. But Trump was there. He put the little piece of paper in there. This order from McDonald's or whatever it is you put in that crack in the wall. It just goes on and on and on. So, yeah, that's how he did it. He didn't do it with no Jewish help, okay? That's just the truth.
Well, that's true. You got the Jewish help, you got the Mafia, too. I mean, because they were one and the same.
Meyer Lansky? Come on. Yeah.
Right. So, that is true. And, you know, think of his lawyers now. He's got Jay Sekulow, who's Jewish, who's his lawyer. He's got what's the guy's name?
They've got photos of his national security meetings, and the majority of them are all have little Star of David's over them, and just to identify them. Look, it's a Zionist regime is what we're faced with, and Kushner is the case in point. And what Princess Ivanka said when she was in Europe talking about the Muslim crisis, she said, open borders in America are not enough. We have to do more. That's what she said.
Well, what a dick. You know, Jeff, that thing of about the wife who is Jewish,
yeah,
or the husband who's a Jew, that connection, you and I know that really began in earnest over in Europe during the early Rothschild period and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And then in Great Britain, they took over many of the slots there and became lords and so forth by marrying in with these the English royalty and so forth, the Jews.
Yep.
And it seems to me there's something I have, you know, I've studied, of course, Judaism, the Talmud, the Kabbalah.
Well, your book, The Star, is the best. That's it.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That connection, what I'm trying to say is, if not the president, who rules America? We now can see that JFK, Nixon, Carter, Reagan, Clinton, Obama.
The answer is the deep state.
The deep state. And who runs the deep state? Well, that would be the Jews.
That's Wall Street.
They have to run it.
That's right.
Wall Street, but Wall Street is Jewish.
Yes, sir.
The Fed Reserve, the whole bit. It seems to me that and of course the media, we talk about the media, but aren't they all run by the Jews? Of course they are. They're
yes,
all
sir.
Owned by the Jews.
Absolutely.
So we really have a Jewish-run country, and people
need
to look at it. We do.
Indeed.
Well, Jeff, it's been great being with you again, just looking at these things.
Thank you. Well,
maybe we gave people some things to think about.
Well, you certainly did. You always do. And thank you for your bravery and your thought and all the work that you've done over all the years to try to drag at least the reasonable amongst us into the light of day. It's the truth. There's nothing configured here that's hateful, racist, none of that stuff. It's just reality. And there's nothing wrong with talking about reality. So thank you, Tex.
This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Please tune in next week and discover the power of prophecy.